Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Tales for Life podcast. One of the most amazing things about humans is that despite our relatively short time on this planet, we've been prolific about sharing our knowledge with others. There's almost nothing of consequence that we face today that some ancient ancestor of ours didn't already encounter and leave some wisdom about. A lot of the time, knowing how much people love being entertained, this wisdom was placed into stories. Hidden, sometimes in plain sight, amid tales of ogres, fairies, giants, ghosts, and other whimsical characters, are nuggets of wisdom to help us overcome life's troubles. They are not just folk and fairy tales, they are tales of life. I've called this episode, Feed Your Soul. I'm not talking about your soul necessarily in the religious sense. What I mean here is the creative energy or spark within all of us, and we all have it. Some of us play instruments, some of us sing, others paint, draw, dance, and a host of other things. All of these activities, the creative arts, serve a dual purpose. First and foremost, they help us, the ones doing it. We need to express ourselves. It's part of being human and one of the things that separates us from the other animals on the planet. Second, and this is something very few of us consider, is that they help others. How, you might ask? Because these things bring joy and happiness. Like walking through a well-manicured garden or looking at statues in a museum, we are lifted up by the creative expression of others. And others can be lifted up by our own creative expression. One might not think that our ancestors, who were very concerned about simply making it to tomorrow or surviving a harsh winter, had time to worry about feeding their souls. But they did, because they knew, even in an age without running water and electricity, that whatever was within us needed to be expressed. The world, literally, depended on our abilities to uplift ourselves and each other through creative expression. One of the greatest stories that illustrates this comes from Japan. Some scholars have traced the origin of this particular story back over 500 years, and the first known English language printing dates back just a little over 100 years ago. This is the version most common and well known of the tale entitled, The Boy Who Drew Cats. A long, long time ago, in a small country village in Japan, there lived a poor farmer and his wife, who were very good people. They had a number of children and found it hard to feed them all. The elder son was strong enough when only 14 years old to help his father, and the little girls learned to help their mother almost as soon as they could walk. But the youngest child, a little boy, did not seem to be fit for hard work. He was very clever, cleverer than his brother and sisters, but he was quite weak and small, and people said he would never grow very big. After some discussion, his parents decided it would be better for him to become a priest than to become a farmer. They took him with them to the village temple one day and asked the old priest who lived there if he would have their little boy for his pupil and teach him all that a priest ought to know. The old man spoke kindly to the boy and asked him some hard questions. So clever were the answers that the priest agreed to take the boy into the temple as an acolyte and to train him for the priesthood. The boy learned quickly what the old priest taught him and was very obedient in most things. But he had one fault. He liked to draw cats during study hours, and to draw cats when cats ought not to have been drawn at all. Whenever he found himself alone, he drew cats. He drew them on the margins of the priest books and on all the screens of the temple, on the walls and on the pillars. Several times the priest told him this was not right, but he did not stop drawing cats. He drew them because he could not really help it. He had what is called the genius of an artist, and just for that reason, he was not quite fit to be an acolyte. A good acolyte should study books. One day, after he had drawn some very clever pictures of cats upon a paper screen, the old priest said to him severely, "My boy, you must go away from this temple at once. You will never make a good priest, but perhaps you will become a great artist. Now let me give you a last piece of advice, and be sure you never forget it. Avoid large places at night, keep to small." The boy did not know what the priest meant by saying that. He thought and thought while he was tying up his little bundle of clothes to go away, but he could not understand those words, and he was afraid to speak to the priest anymore except to say goodbye. He left the temple very sorrowfully and began to wonder what he should do. If he went straight home, he feared his father would punish him for having been disobedient to the priest, so he was afraid to go home. And then he suddenly remembered that at the next village, 12 miles away, there was a very big temple. He had heard there were several priests at that temple, and he made up his mind to go to them and ask them to take him for their acolyte. Now that big temple was closed up, but the boy did not know this fact. The reason it had been closed up was that a goblin had frightened the priest away and had taken possession of the place. Some brave warriors had afterwards gone to the temple at night to kill the goblin, but they had never been seen again. Nobody had ever told these things to the boy, so he walked all the way to the village, hoping to be kindly treated by the priest. When he got to the village, it was already dark, and all the people were in bed. But he saw the big temple on a hill on the other side of the main street, and he saw there was a light in the temple. People who tell the story say the goblins used to make that light in order to tempt lonely travelers to ask for shelter. The boy went at once to the temple and knocked. There was no sound inside. He knocked and knocked again, but still nobody came. At last he pushed gently at the door and was glad to find that it had not been locked. So he went in and saw a lamp burning, but no priest. He thought that some priest would be sure to come very soon, and he sat down and waited. Then he noticed that everything in the temple was gray with dust and thickly spun over with cobwebs. So he thought to himself that the priest would certainly like to have a devotee to keep the place clean. He wondered why they had allowed the place to get so dusty. What most pleased him, however, were some large white screens good to paint cats upon. Though he was tired, he looked at once for a writing box and found one, and ground some ink, and began to paint cats. He painted a great many cats upon the screens, and then he began to feel very, very sleepy. He was just on the point of lying down to sleep beside one of the screens when he suddenly remembered the words the priest had told him, "Avoid large places at night, keep to small." The temple was very large. He was alone, and as he thought of these words, though he could not quite understand them, he began to feel for the first time a little afraid, and he resolved to look for a small place in which to sleep. He found a little cabinet with a sliding door and went into it and shut himself up. Then he lay down and fell fast asleep. Very late in the night, he was awakened by a most terrible noise, a noise of fighting and screaming. It was so dreadful that he was afraid even to look through a chink of the little cabinet. He lay very still, holding his breath for fright. The light that had been in the temple went out, but the awful sounds continued and became more awful, and all the temple shook. After a long time, silence came, but the boy was still afraid to move. He did not move until the light of the morning sun shone into the cabinet through the chinks of the little door. Then he got out of his hiding place very cautiously and looked around. The first thing he saw was that all the floor of the temple was covered with blood. and then he saw, lying dead in the middle of the floor, an enormous, monstrous rat, a goblin rat, bigger than a cow. But who or what could have killed it? There was no man or other creature to be seen. Suddenly, the boy observed that the mouths of all the cats he had drawn the night before were red and wet with blood. Then he knew that the goblin had been killed by the cats which he had drawn. And then also, for the first time, he understood why the wise old priest had said to him, "Avoid large places at night, keep to small." Afterwards, that boy became a very famous artist. Some of the cats which he drew are still shown to travelers in Japan. There are several lessons within this tale that we would all do well to keep in mind every day, but at the very least, weekly. First, your creative art, or the thing that feeds your soul, is going to call to you. You can't get away from it. It will haunt you where you live, where you work, anywhere you go. And you will be unhappy if you try to ignore or suppress it. Don't make yourself suffer. Next, let's take a moment and look at the goblin rat, or demon, if you will. While I won't go so far as to say that the original author of this tale intended it, it's plain to see that this giant rat is the fear and reluctance we have in expressing our desire or gift. There is a need in the world for whatever creative outlet you need to pursue. When that need is not met, the gap that comes is dangerous to everyone around you and even yourself. Misery, unhappiness, and even death can come about from stuffing your creativity down. Sure, it's just the story, but just imagine what would have happened had the boy not drawn his cats. And while we're on this topic, let's not forget that we are not obligated to pursue our creativity blindly to all ends. For some, yes, there is a livelihood they can make expressing their creativity. For some, it's a side hobby or extra money. For others, it truly is that labor of love we hear so much about. We do it because it makes us happy to do it, whether or not we get paid for it. Just as the boy's desire to draw cats guided the course of his life, your desire to do whatever your calling is will guide you as well. And you may never dance, paint, or design buildings professionally, but your contribution to this world still matters, and not just to you. Which brings us to the part where the expression of the boy's gift, the feeding of his soul, does indeed help others. Now, in the original version of this story, the boy goes on to become abbot of the temple, meaning that his gift enabled others to have a place to grow and mature and bring peace to the world. In the version that I just told, the boy becomes a famous artist, which allows him to give joy and happiness to others through his artwork. No matter which version of the story you want to stick with, the truth of the ending is undeniable. The world was a better place because the boy did not give up his artistic expression and creativity. He did not hide or suppress it. He let it out. And one last note, which is vitally important. Our path to creative expression leads us away from our comfort zone. We're not going to do or achieve anything sitting still. We must get out and move. And it will be uneasy, we'll meet some resistance, and we might even be scared, but we have to push through to get there. Just like the boy who left the farm and left the abbey, your creative expression will take you somewhere you may never have thought about going, but it's so worth the trip. What will it be for you? Are you ready to answer the call? Are you ready to feed your soul? You and the world are waiting.